This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation. Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. So happy to be in your company on this absolutely gorgeous Monday, the last Monday here in January. I hope that you're kind of prepared for what's going to happen as the months go by. Let me tell you why. Because January is always like the longest month of the year, right? And it's always kind of placed us in this position. Oh, Jesus, when January go over? Well, it's done. You got paid. And I'm hoping that you made some good sense of it and trying to make some things happen. It's a beautiful Monday morning, Monday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm very happy to be with you, January 30th, 2023. And today's going to be a wide open line. I want to do that for you. I wanted to be able to have some strategic conversations, really did. Had an opportunity to be able to call, reach out to some ministers responsible for a few things. Reached out to Dr. Darvall in his particular capacity, to Minister of Natural Resources, Minister Vaughn Miller. Had a good conversation with him. He's committed to being able to come on. And most definitely, the Minister of National Security is going to be able to come on with us. But I wanted to have more conversation. And I don't know why. And last night, I just started to type out this kind of a concept and idea about an amnesty period, right, for persons with guns. And then we wake up this morning to see murders, robberies, sex crimes all up, right? And we're looking at it and we're reading it. And if you didn't have an opportunity, make sure you go and pick up your Guardian newspaper. It says PMH in crisis. The Prime Minister, heart-wrenching to see the state of the hospital, right? Which is, you know, it's bonkers to me to see our Prime Minister take on such a strong position to be able to articulate this. We know that we have issues. It's normally what we hear. We know that we have issues. This administration is committed to being able to rectify, modify those particular issues, and you're going to see some things happen. But to start to talk about it's heart-wrenching to see the state of the hospital. Has the state of the hospital improved over the years? I've only seen it kind of deteriorate. Whether that this is campaign talking points or a position that the Prime Minister has taken just to kind of give you that good feel is one thing, but I don't know whether or not we've seen anything. The last administration under the leadership of the then Minister of Health, Dr. Duane San, said the same thing. Oh, we're committed to doing some things. The Free National Movement is going to do this, going to do that. And I really don't see that kind of that push, that significant push to really make some things happen. What's your position on it? I feel like this is responsive. Responsive in its definition is reacting quickly and positively. This is a quick response, quick positive rebuttal response, but very superficial for me. The Prime Minister taking on a position to say that we will do these things is what we've seen in our administrations over the course of time. Just words. Just, we're going to do something about it. And, you know, I think this administration is making it a point to identify some of the social ills that pop up in casual conversations on a day-to-day basis. So they identify those things and put it in, whether that's to the office of the Prime Minister, whether that's in the cabinet meetings, or wherever their spaces are in terms of deciding what we're going to focus on next. And then we see it come out in the forefront in media. Last week, we were inundated by conversations about illegal immigration because this is what we were dealing with. We've been dealing with this, especially now, over the inception over the past 4 weeks in January. This administration has taken on a strong position to talk about those things. We've seen the prime minister talk about those particular things. Now, especially with the death and kind of separation of Kenice Darvill, right, whose funeral is going to be on February 11th, right? Especially with the separation thereof, we've seen our prime minister take on a strong position and the administration thereof about what's going to happen. I've seen the Princess Margaret Hospital talk about a blood drive. And while we're enthusiastic about these things, why does it take death? Why does it take the last straw? Why does it take the straw that literally breaks the camel's back for there to be a significant decision about movement going forward in this country? Why? Why does it take that? Why are we in this kind of position where we have to wait until things become so bad that we have to do something now? There's not enough conversation about customer service and the morale that exists in these particular spaces. We're not hearing from whether that be the Minister of Public Service say that there is going to be an intense retraining of the persons who are at the forefront and at the front line of service in all government divisions. That's what needs to be done. There needs to be an intense training of why should we have to tell a nurse and a doctor how to communicate with people that they're familiar with on a day-to-day basis. That's one of the things that we've done. We've become so casual in our approach of how we deal with things. Eager that another issue will take the position of what needs to be done and rectified now. The other day, DeWitt called and started to talk to us about an issue about the MPs going around and being able to open up their offices, and someone else texted in and said, hey, he's just trying to deflect and distract. Why is it always, and I'm not saying that that's what he did, but I'm saying, why is that on our minds? Why is it always a conspiracy theory around the fact that there is a desire to kind of deflect away from whatever the issue is? Is there any expectation that this administration would rectify the decades-long ailing issues that PMH presents? And not only PMH, you know. The Rand Memorial Hospital, if you remember under the last administration, they were swimming in sewage up to their ankles and sometimes higher in different spaces and places in there. Black water, flooding issues. We've been having issues with infrastructure for far too long. Is there any expectation, whether that be from a service standpoint, whether that be from infrastructural development, whether that just be from the approach of how you deal with the public generally, is there any expectation that this Davis administration can rectify these issues for real, for real? Talk to me about it. I want you to be a part of the conversation. The lines are wide open today, 325-4316, 325-4316, 325-4259, 325-4259, or hit me up on the text line, 422-4796. This is a Monday morning. We're having a good conversation. And these things pop up over the weekend. Now, you know, when I initially came here in this space and really started to kind of dive in and chop down conversations, I had one guest that called me. You remember the conversation. The gentleman called and said, well, why? I thought you was talking about what happened last night. Well, what happened last night, sir? Well, they unveiled the logo for what happened in Rawson Square. And Leslie Bryce did a wonderful job, Her Excellency. Yeah, I agree with you. But simultaneously, there were lives being lost. Now, which one are we going to choose to talk about? There's a rhythm that exists socially that takes us to the path of a conversation perpetually. It takes us to the same conversation day in, day out. The issues in our country continue to go unresolved. There's not one issue that we can identify over the course of our history that has been resolved to the point that we could just put that behind us and start to move on another task. There haven't. There hasn't been. And especially with the rhythm of going from one political organization to another, one party to another, there has never been a true completion of anything. We're left in this kind of a limbo state with an expectation that the Bahamian people, we got to deal with it. That's what it is. A coined phrase from our former Prime Minister, Perry Christie, in his particular capacity, it is what it is. But truly, I ask you today, is it really what it is? Is that what it is? This incompletion, this lackadaisical approach to perfection and being able to provide professionalism in their capacities. We've hired you to be professionals. And this relentless apologetic position and pursuit of being able to say, well, we've identified these things and we're going to rectify it without doing anything about it, places us right back at square one. I've been an advocate for this administration from its inception. I've identified that this administration has done a great deal as it relates to being able to pick low-hanging fruit. The Free National Movement dropped the ball big time. And there were some things that they could have done. The low-hanging fruit for this administration would be able to deal with freedom of information, whistleblowers, ombudsmen, a sense of transparency in various divisions. They've tackled somewhat this kind of reduction in VAT. So we know that you have the wherewithal to do some things. But things that can truly make, listen, the accountability factor, and C. Allen and I, you know, C. Allen would talk about these particular things. But the accountability factor that we've had in this government, or the lack thereof, is as a result of not incorporating technology. And I'm convinced that it is by design. That it is by design. That you cannot incorporate technology, because doing that will show you up. And this design is keeping us back significantly in this country. There's accountability. This administration and administrations prior have not been accountable to the Bahamian people the way that they should be. They're casual, very flippant, and the information that we get, they're very sensational with their desire to be able to bring out strategic things without being able to bring the entire thing forward. In the papers today, we can be able to read, I'm just going to read a little small caption for you. Murders, robberies, sex crimes, all up. The overall serious crimes decreased by 2% throughout the Bahamas. Last year, crimes against the persons increased by 23%, driven by a rise in murders, sex crimes, and armed robberies. Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernanda reported on Friday. There were 128 murders, an 8% increase over 2021. Fernandez said 113, let's see if we can be able to pull this up on page 12, right? Fernandez said 113 of the murders took place on New Providence, 8 on Grand Bahama, 4 in Abaco, 1 in Andros, 1 in Eleuthera, and 1 on Exuma. Two of the victims were foreigners. Police reported that they solved 86 of these murders, 69% detection. Based on the investigation in these matters, 35 suspects who were on bail committed murders, Fernandez said. 34 victims were killed while on bail. And you know something? I want to say this. I want to stop here. I feel like, you remember when we was in college or in high school? And we were responsible for creating an essay, right? And in the essay, you would have a finite amount of words that you were supposed to write, a minimum amount of words, or you can't exceed that, 500 words. And the 500 words, you know exactly the points that, because you did your kind of layout. You know the exact points that you want to hit, so you kind of put them at the forefront first. And then you try to stretch it out as far as you possibly can. And I'm feeling that this is what what I'm getting a little taste of this. Let me tell you why. To emphasize the idea that 35 of these were on bail, 30 of them were in this particular, they were also, the persons were murdered were also on bail. creates in your mind a subconscious idea that, oh, well, they are already known to police. Are we stripping men and women of their dignity when we look at these things like this? I don't know. I mean, just talk to me about it. Give me a call, 325-4316, 325-4259, 422-4796. I believe that the intent of the Royal Bahamas Police Force is to reduce the fear of crime. The crime index is significantly increasing, but the fear of crime, if we could subside that by using strategic language, then I think we're doing a good job. Because you can't do, you know, you can't be failing in all spheres. If we could reduce the fear of crime whilst we continue to fight the actual crime, we can do well. So how do we reduce that? We identify those persons who are on bail. We identify those persons who are known to police. And this is what we lead with. We lead with these conversations. Okay, this person's known to police. Does that alleviate you as a resident? Does that alleviate your mind whilst you're listening to this? Two persons were killed today. The police say they were known to... They were known to police. Come on now. That's the first thing you say. Oh my God, who get killed? Decent people that we know? Oh no, they were known to police. And you kind of reject the idea of trying to dive in further to a life that was lost in our community. And so my question falls right back to the exact same thing. What are we doing as a society to alleviate these real issues? As we read further into the conversation, into the story, and we find out about the statistics and the breakdown, it goes further. It says 90% of the alleged victims knew their reported assailant. 61% of the alleged victims were between the ages, now they were talking about sexual crimes, between the ages 14 and 16. Fernanda appealed to parents and guardians to monitor children on social media. He also sent a strong message to the men who continue to prey on minors. Stop now, Fernanda warned. Stop now. If you do continue, we will find you and we will be, and you will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. That is a no-no. See, in a changing, shifting society, this is how it's done. Don't fight me, just contribute to the conversation if you desire. There was this idea of language and shame that governed the Bahamas that we once knew. The idea of language and shame that caused you not to want to bring shame to your grandmother, your mother, your family, these people who cared for you, nurtured you. You knew the entire community. Everybody knew Miss Maida Child. Everybody knew Miss Pauline Child. There was an expectation that this kind of the dignity that your mother or grandmother took herself with was expected to fall on you. You have to fall in line. And so people could use strong language like, watch out, boy, I can tell your ma. Straighten up and fly right. Or I can tell your ma. And you sort of, ooh, I don't want no problems. Because you had a certain level of pride with you during those days. To say to people, men especially, stop now. If you do continue, we will find you and we will prosecute to the full extent of your... How? With the greatest degree of respect, I need to ask how. If mothers are saying to daughters, baby, but let that go. You won't bring no shame to the family. That's how it shifted. It shifted to the preservation of perversion. That's what you've done. Many mothers out there who daughters come to them and say, mommy, this man, touch me, they've done this, they've done that. Well, baby, just let that go. Just let that go. Now, I'm not saying all, but we've heard the stories of women who've matured and come to a position that they've broken now and can't find a sense of a sustainable relationship, not because of what's happening in the relationship, because of them. And to say this is not enough. My question is, where is the technology attached to this? There is a line. That's the first thing I ask. Where is this line, this hotline? Where's the apps that you created quietly that gives young girls that kind of a position? They could text. I know you have the crime line out there all the time. But where is that internal line that they can call about these things, that someone can help them? Talk to me about it, man. Talk to me about it. Where is the line that where is the list of repeated offenders who lives amongst us that still go into the parks that shouldn't be around there? Where is the list of these particular persons? This is not enough for me to say stop now. And so my question, so the same question that exists for the prime minister, is this just verbal acrobats that you're being able to show us your ability to do what you have to do? Or is there a desire to really rectify these issues? I don't see it. All this is a lot of the exact same thing. We're not executing what, we're not bringing these people. Look here, the paper should have, just like when RBC or Commonwealth Bank or whoever is promoting 98 people and they got all these pictures in the paper, put the perverts in the paper. Put them in the paper. These are the people who have offended, bam, bam, bam. Let these women see these men's faces. Let them know who they are. These are the criminals. And not from the allegations. These are the criminals. Even if you're a whiff of these particular things, listen to me, man. We have to strengthen our society with transparency and accountability. These criminals have no one to account for. Everyone sweeps these things under the rug. We continue to do what an ARC prime minister is saying, we're going to be able to deal with and rectify these issues. Let's be honest about what's happening here. Why does it take someone dying for our prime minister to be able to say that PMH is in crisis? PMH has been in crisis for over 2 decades. And they continue to be able to put a social band-aid on it, a band-aid on it, a band-aid, a band-aid. And people are dying. And then they say, oh, that's because of what you eat. Let's have a good conversation about these things, man. Let's talk clear about it and find out how we can rectify these issues for the better. The numbers that you can call, 325-4316, 325-4316, 325-4259, 325-4259, or you can hit me up, 422-4796. We're going to take this commercial break and get right back after this. Guys, please be a part of the conversation. 96.9 FM Radio, Guardian Radio, the foundation with Howard Grant. Let's dive into the conversation and have it. Let's talk real, man. We're here this morning, and we're all about how we can rectify these issues. Not shake and jive, but really talk about what we can do, our parts, with what we have to rectify some things. Let's take this commercial break and be right back after this.
The foundation. The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
At Popeyes, get the chicken sandwich you love, but make it blackened. Marinated in Popeyes blackened seasoning, that is. Our new juicy filet is fried to perfection without the breading, served on a toasted brioche bun. Try it today as a combo or a la carte. Don't forget to choose your level of spice today at any one of our 3 locations.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Whether your business is in-store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, the Foundation with Howard Grant right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. So happy to be in your company. It's a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Monday. And we're trying to, you know, really chop down what we're seeing here in the papers. That's just me. I mean, come on. We make sure you pick up your paper, your Guardian paper. See exactly what the Prime Minister says. It's heart-wrenching to see the state of the hospital. It's almost similar to when I heard the former Prime Minister say, well, I didn't even know that they didn't have an outside toilet. It's the exact same thing. We have been living here, this Prime Minister, in the midst of everything that was happening whilst we were locked down and him being able to deal with COVID and rectify those issues, obviously it was to such a degree that he had to go off to his daughter. Is that because of, you know, familiarity, or is that because of the state of the hospital? Let's just be very clear, because I can't afford it. We use all the olive oil we could use, and zinc and calcium and every Jesus thing we can, prayer, pills, everything we could find to be able to ensure that we didn't have to go into the hospital. We knew it was crazy during that time. Talk to me. We knew that it was a crazy time. And we know that nothing has changed. We see that they have great aesthetics now. Driving up to it, you have this kind of a beautiful. Oh, it's nice. But those persons who are being served in the hospital say that we still have to sit outside. We still have to sit in these areas. We still have to do these particular things. So to hear the Prime Minister come on and say, it's heart-wrenching to see the state of the hospital. It was always heart-wrenching. Some of us pray to God for insurance. Good, decent insurance that could take us out of the country. The only thing that alleviates the average man is when they can look back and say, oh, well, thank God I get some insurance that can give me an opportunity to go across the street to Florida Memorial. Oh, well, thank God I could be able to see someone somewhere else. Why? Oh, my God, I could afford doctors. Why? These are true professionals. These men and women, the same men and women who work to the private clinics and private facilities that we go to, these are the men and women that we go to on a regular basis. So do they lose professionalism? Do they leave professionalism at the threshold of the door when they step over to PMH? What's happening in here? We come to your private clinics and give you all our money to take care of us. You have a responsibility. You're working for the government and you have your private sector. You show me all the attention from the private sector perspective. Even go and say, well, we could go in PMH for the private ward. But if an average Joe walks up to you, the only stories that we hear coming back from them is that we were treated with disdain, this kind of rejection, this neglect. There wasn't true care and concern. Talk to me about the Hippocratic Oath that you've taken. Because your actions are showing me that it's hypocritical. 325-4316, 325-4316, 325-4259, 422-4796. That's the text line. Let me take a telephone call. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hello, Howard.
Hi.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm ready. This is your old buddy who you helped one time with that same hospital problem calling all over the hospital for me.
I remember.
You remember me?
I remember you. How
to
you
this
doing?
Day, I ain't get a call.
Well, I show you. I call. I say, yes, I'm Mr. Grant. We can call him.
And we spoke to someone, too, and I have never gotten a return call to go to see the doctor.
That's crazy.
To see the doctor to put the thing down my throat and what's not. That place is a mess. That place needs to be blown up. The service is poor. They don't care about you up there, Howard. I've been through that a couple of times, and you know I spoke to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about you. You're sitting there, and he tells you, I mean, I don't know how many years you'll be there. And the doctors, them, don't even, like, examine you and touch you. You know, what is the doctor for you now? When you go in, you say, you have a headache. Mm-hmm. They go to the computer and say, okay, this person has a headache to the left, to the right. And that's what the computer says, okay, give them that. They don't touch you. They don't look in the air. They don't look in your throat. They don't touch your stomach. They don't do nothing. They don't care about you.
Mm-mm.
And then you hear the government's here, we'll be doing our best and this and that. And then another thing, in the A&E, the man naked laying there, the woman, everybody bungled up like sardine in a can. Mm. I look up and everybody whole left, right, and center. That shouldn't be. Mm. We are beyond that, but that's the way it is.
Mm.
You know?
We got to do something about this.
Yes.
We got to, see, and one thing I hate about the closeness of our society, when we decide to talk up and speak up and out about issues, especially those of us who have voice,
mm-hmm.
those of us who got platforms and that can be able to speak about these things,
mm-hmm.
the difficulty is that it seems like we're bashing these organizations. Why are you bashing the government? Why are you bashing PMH? Why are you bashing NHI? And it's not about that. I think it's more, for me, it's about bringing this sort of awareness that we have to kind of do something different.
Yes.
Because guess what? If Sheem was governing the country one time, you should be Sheem.
Mm-hmm.
You should be Sheem of how you're dealing mm-hmm. with Bahamian people.
You remember when I told you when I went to the hospital like Monday, and then I woke up Tuesday morning, it felt like I was worse. When I gone back Tuesday, the doctor asked me, "You back here again?" You remember when I said that to you?
Yes, I remember that.
And the lady who you let me spoke with, she said, "If you have to go back 1,000 times, you go back."
My God. Well, I'm glad you put it back here on the thing, because there's many conversations, and I appreciate your telephone call, my dear. You have a beautiful day.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
Thanks for listening in. Now, there's more than one. For the Help Me Howard line, I put my numbers out there, right? And the best I can. I honest to God. Whatever I can help, however I can help, I promise you, I can help. However I can help. Right? And if that's making a telephone call strategically to you for me being able to, because I don't know these people, just like you don't know them. I'm not saying to you that I know these people. If I know one or two persons, I will strategically make that call. And I just call out and I say, "Hey, listen, I need your help. I have a guest that's already called the station and spoken to the entire country and said they have this particular issue." Now, this is, in my mind, this is an opportunity for what? Service recovery. I tell you, I come from these things. So when you then bring Sheem to everyone, you should have an opportunity to recover service. How do you do that? By rectifying this issue for this person and then calling into the show and say, "Howard, appreciate your telephone call the other day. We were able to deal with this woman, boom, 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 boom." That's how you're going to change the view and the position of the Princess Margaret Hospital. You're going to have to be proactive. You're going to have to utilize these particular spaces, and you're going to have to engage people to get some things done. If you're still flippant and nonchalant, if you're still consumed and concerned about who getting paid, who ain't getting paid, whether the union do this and the union ain't doing that, you're going to have these same issues. And the fear is that it's going to get worse, because now if we intensify our call publicly about our, you know, disappointment in the hospital, the public Princess Margaret Hospital, the Ryan Memorial Hospital and all the clinics, if we publicly continue to intensify our position in that, there could be no expectation that when we come in there, you can give us good service. You didn't get worse. Tap into service recovery. Let's see if we can take a next telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. How are you, my brother?
I'm good, my brother.
Awesome, man. Awesome. My heart went out just now, just listening to that young lady just now. You know, having been around the hospital with my mother in the early days, and to see apparently the deterioration of the service or the respect for persons coming in for service is no longer there, then that's a very concerning thing. The thing that really got me many years ago was that the doctors and nurses who have to work in that facility have actually been speaking out about the conditions of that hospital for quite some time. And apparently, either the response was to do a patch job or whether to remedy the situation once and for all, whether it means bringing in state-of-the-art equipment, new equipment and not used equipment, or anything like that. I mean, I have not heard a report coming from the relevant authorities, whether it's PHA, whether it be the Minister of Health or whatever, to say how much monies was spent to replace perhaps some of the equipment that's been in there from King Hatshepsut's arm. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, I think infrastructure is so important, but I believe the most vital part of this whole infrastructure would be the attention and care of our doctors and nurses in there, who are actually on the front line, who are actually I would assume, have been informing about the conditions of the building and equipment. But what's even worse is when it comes down to the patients now complaining about the lack of service and the level of quality service and the compassion, that I think the whole institution right then and there has become a failure. So we need to really address this matter and address it very quickly if we are going to restore confidence, not just for we as citizens, but more so when our visitors go into that infrastructure, and especially if they came from countries where they know quality of patient care, they know the quality of service in their hospitals. We have a long way to go. But thanks for taking my call, Howard. And
absolutely,
all
brother.
I would say is you know, I truly pray that the level and standards that the hospital was once known for would be restored, so everyone would have that confidence once again. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate you. Listen, I want to say this. I'm listening in, and, you know, Jeff and I come from the hotel. And so we identify these things through the lens of customer service, right? And as I'm listening, if I have an issue, this actually happened. This is only to draw a comparison. This actually happened. When the hotel, I was at the Malia at this time. It had just transitioned from the Sheraton into the Malia. And then there was this sort of a merger between Crystal Palace and the Malia, right? And so they were bringing some managers over and some things were happening. And so we had an influx of persons that we had to take their resume for, so on, right? There wasn't a good base. They didn't have a good base in terms of how to fuse these things. So, you know, everything jumbled up at the desk. You come to the desk, oh, I suppose I have a reservation here. I suppose I have this. So it wasn't properly integrated, right? Right? And then you had guest service agents and front office agents who did not have that kind of quality and that kind of quick response to be able to rectify some things. Was on renovation during the time also, right? And so they were bungling up. And so I tried to be able to create a line. There shouldn't be 200 people in my lobby. That's crazy, right? That doesn't even make any sense. Plus check-in timing until 4 o'clock. What are y'all doing at 3 o'clock? What are you doing? So I tried to rectify that by being able to identify some things. They put some people, I say, go to the beach, go here, go there, we'll check you in, blah, 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 blah. And in trying to do that, tradition stepped in. No, Howard, we don't do this. What do you mean we don't do this? Of course, we don't do this. We've never done this before, nor have we ever had this particular issue. Now, when should innovation and creativity kick in to deal with these things? Yelp and Travelocity and all of those was going crazy. Oh, this hotel is horrible. Bam, 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 bam. And so I couldn't understand this. I said, why? I said, your people are crazy. I said, this is bananas to me. How y'all could let these people, these tourists who have no internet connection in the country, come into your country and use your internet to go on the international internet and say to the world that the Malia is horrible? I said, y'all don't even have a firewall up. The first thing your firewall should do is, do you have a service issue? How can we rectify this? I say all these things to the people. They don't hear none of these things. And in being able to say these things, I said to myself, I said, wow, this is absolutely bananas. Why do we always see through the lens of these things and reject the technology to rectify these issues? All this was easy to rectify. And what I'm hearing now is even easier. Now, Howard, you don't throw money at everything. Okay, I accept what you're saying. But in this day and time, especially with the state of our economy in this country, a couple more dollars, no one would ever reject. Talk to me. You have customer complaints. You identify, and this is easy. You put a badge on everyone. This is free. I only can give you a piece of this. You put a badge, nurse, hall, and then you put a QR code on each one of the nurses' badge. Every time they provide good service, you could scan it for an app that you've created. Watch me now. We're rectifying this on the radio. We're rectifying customer service on the radio now. Simple. You take a scan of their QR code, you say it, nurse hall, and then it comes up, how was your service at PMH Hospital today? Service was excellent. Service was poor. tell us some of the issues that we could be able to deal with. Boom, 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 boom. And the more good customer service compliments that we have, you can do two things. Simultaneously, you identify who is the employee of the month, and you could be able to incentivize that by increasing, not their base pay, by being able to give them some sort of salary inclusion, something included in their salary, a customer service incentive that you offer to them. Thus, we rectify that issue instantaneously just now. Why? Because it's not for the government or for my administrators to identify who is getting good, who is doing what. But now the onus is on the public. Now the public rectifies that. And public said, listen to me. Some of you are all bad, but my God, I love Nurse Hall. No one is thinking of utilizing technology. This is blowing my mind. The only thing you want to do is what you used to do. And you would not hire young people to help you rectify these issues. You are blowing my mind. This week, all through the newspaper, second page of the newspaper, government seeking funding for new hospital on New Providence. Blows my mind. How much time do we have this conversation? Let's take a caller before we get out of here. You got a caller on the line? Caller, go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Grant. How you doing?
I'm fantastic, man. What's happening?
Sparky here.
Hey, Sparky.
Mr. Grant, I appreciate your conversations and so much. And everybody, we keep appreciating our wonderful talk show hosts, our many callers of behemoths that call in on a frequent basis.
Yes.
And we keep going through the same ordeals over and over and over. When it's time for campaign and when it's time for election, we keep following the leads of these people who promise us this, promise us that. They come in as opposition. We got tired of last opposition. The new guys promise us, okay, we can do this. We heard what y'all say. We can listen to the people this time. Now when we vote them in, all of a sudden, they change the allegiance from the people to the king.
Mm-hmm.
And the king's heirs and successors and everything. They forgot the people they promised again. We keep going through the same topics all over the talk shows over and over. They hear us when they're in opposition. But when they become leaders, what happened? They know everything now. They don't want to listen to the public no more. They want to listen to the people in the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
They turn over knowing everything. But they were supposed to be our friends, would grow up to school with us, mm-hmm. live through the same corners we went through, know the issues would we all going through, and yet when it's time to do it, they find other things to do. They got their priorities in place. It's not the people's priority no more, it's their priorities.
Mm-hmm.
They don't listen to what Howard Grant say. Mm-hmm. They don't listen to Sparky say. They don't listen to what the callers say. They don't listen to us no more.
Mm-hmm.
Their issues become their issues. Their issues become they want to build a new central bank. They want to build a new post office. They want to build a new place over Paradise Island, a new a tourism attraction. They want to build this. They want to build that. But they don't have a problem to find out when are we going to build a new public hospital for the Bahamian people where the health of the nation is the wealth of the nation. The Minister of Health goes up and down the Paul's Hospital. He see walls and cement dropping down. He say, we repairing this, we patching this, we doing that. Then the Prime Minister walks to the hospital. Then he tells us the hospital in crisis. When are we going to build a new hospital? And we'll take care of other things later. When are we going to get the nation healthy? Where you scared to go to the BMH because you scared you end up coming out of there dead.
You mightn't come out.
Would you ever hear any undertakers complain about the situation in the hospital?
No.
Because the undertakers don't want you to come out there alive. They want your body.
Mm. That's how they get paid.
They want your body. They don't want you to come out there alive.
Mm.
They ain't going to make no money if you
come
out there
alive. I don't
alive.
Expect no agitation from the undertakers. I don't expect
that. I want to come out there alive. So fix the hospital so I can come out alive.
I agree with you, Sparky.
I don't want you to keep patching the hospital. Build us a new hospital. Priority. Build a new hospital. Make sure when I go to the hospital, I'm not afraid to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I feel I'm not going to lay in the corridor in a gurney for 3 days bleeding. Mr. Grant, can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
I'm right here. Go ahead.
Mr. Grant, I have a situation. A friend of mine was working for a government big-time establishment. They was working for a private establishment. They seconded the person from the private establishment, brought them over to the government. To help the government in finance. made the person an advisor. Then the new government came in, and guess what they did to that person? They got rid of that person, owing the person $50,000 a year ago.
Wow.
A Bahamian young person. A person a year later, the government still owes $50,000, and they can't get their money that the government owes them.
We got to rectify these issues, Sparky.
You keep telling me you could call somebody and rectify the situation. That's what they do. They review, they cancel, and they reject. But you still owe the Bahamian employee $50,000. Pay the person their money.
I agree with you, Sparky. Thanks so much for your telephone call, my brother. Always appreciate that. I'm going to read the text before we get out of here for news. It says, please stop referring to young people as the solution. The solution is people who can think analytically, whatever age they may be. My graduate professor was 70. The interesting thing about him, not only was he current with technology, he had the perspective of being inside big tech when it started. Ageism is not the solution. I agree with you. One thing that has been rejected in this country is critical thinking. There is perpetual regurgitation of the exact same thing. And my belief is that we break up the monotony with fresh minds, with a new perspective. And in my view, it doesn't necessarily have to be young people. But for me, the innovation that we seek in this kind of a traditional setting is the incorporation to break up that monotony and monopoly with youth. We're going to have more of this conversation, guys. I see your telephone calls, but you know it's 1 o'clock. We're going to stick and we're going to take this quick commercial break. I want you guys to stick and stay right here, 96.9 FM Radio, The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be right back after this.
Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. 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 The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SB. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, The Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at The Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with The Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The Foundation.
And we are back, 96.9 FM Radio, Guardian Radio, Howard Grant in your company with the Foundation. So wonderful to have you kind of tuning in with us. Today we are, the lines are wide open if you want to kind of chime into the conversation, 325-4316, 325-4316, 325-4259. 325-4259, or hit us up on the text line, 422-4796. We got a caller holding. Let's go right to the caller. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Grant, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How you doing?
I'm good. You were off the air. Now you're back on.
I am back on. Back.
Right.
Live in full effect.
A couple of seconds ago, you mentioned that Mr. Davis, his daughter, had her flown to the States for care when he had COVID. Mm-hmm. Now, it's nothing to do with the hospitals.
Okay.
Here. He educated his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She is doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her, had him flown there
mm-hmm.
so that she could be close to him.
I accept that.
When your kids get that educated,
mm-hmm.
they will be able to do the same thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, kindly take her name out of your mouth.
I didn't call her name. I don't have a name.
It's nothing to do with the hospital fare.
No.
It's for the love of her father and the fact that he educated her to be
that.
In that position.
I accept that. However,
so you just take that out. You know, you should not have gone there.
No,
you
no.
don't know the circumstances of her having him close to her.
I accept what you're saying.
You accept what I say.
Yeah, but you're not going to listen.
Take her name out of your mouth.
I've never called her name.
Have even gone there.
I reject what you say. I reject your position because the 400 and some thousand of us do not have that opportunity. And whether or not I send my child to school, whether it's seminary, whether it's to another aspect, and we've heard the exact same thing from the Ministry of National Security. Before he stepped in his particular ministry, indicated to the country, thank God we have access to money to take care of ourselves. Talk to me. Let's be very clear. This is not a slight on the Prime Minister. And that is the issue, what is wrong with this country. Everyone think by mentioning something that's public discourse, that's in the public realm, you're going against these people. How is it that we can see something so clearly and no one says anything about it? No one. Are we supposed to just skip over this? The Prime Minister of our country, vying for a position as Prime Minister of our country, has an opportunity that I don't have. That many of us in this country just don't have. With all of us have the exact same desire of preserving our lives for the opportunity. Let's just be very clear about this. This has nothing to do with the Prime Minister. This has everything to do with the fact that everyone wants superior service. They want that kind of service. They want to preserve their lives. They want to be here for their loved ones. And so the Prime Minister did that. But what about that person who has finances but send their child off to be a lawyer and they fall ill? They send their child off to be a doctor. They send their child off to be an engineer and they fall ill. One of the things that the Crime Stoppers commercials say, stop the crime before it's your time. While I may disagree with this concept of it being your time, one thing we know is that if ailment comes to us, we would like to preserve our lives. I've never called the young lady's name, the Prime Minister's daughter's name. Never. And stop being so sensitive about issues that exist in the public space. I couldn't tell you about this private information. I don't know their private information. But I know what comes to the public. This has nothing to do with the Prime Minister. I have the greatest respect for a man that committed himself to service and yielding his service to the country on a day-to-day basis. I have the greatest degree of respect for him. The greatest degree. But it doesn't negate the fact that he has access and opportunities that a great deal of the people that support him in Cat Island don't have. They can't get to Nassau. And these are the people that support him relentlessly. So stop with the sensitivity. Let's have a clear conversation for resolution. Let's do that. Let's take a next telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller, you're on the line with us live.
Hi, good night. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. What's up?
I'm all right. Listen, you know what I would like to see happen now?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take the people from out of inland revenue and put them in the hospital and in immigration. Because the speed and vigor and energy they have in inland revenue is next to none. Because they don't leave no stone unturned when it comes to taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So probably we need to get those people and put them in them. And we might get something done. Because
mm-hmm.
in the last 2 years, they came up with all these ideas, and they're not leaving one stone unturned.
To get their money.
Yes, they're getting that money now. We need to put them in the hospital and immigration.
I like that. I like what you say, caller.
You understand me?
Yeah, but we ain't get nothing. We probably get baby pills for all kind of things. We ain't get, baby
aspirin. Excuse you could come up with, they got something for that already.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of people we need.
I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so much for being full call. I do appreciate it. Guys, please give me a call. 325-4316. 325-4316. 325-4259. 325-4259. Or hit me up on the text 422-4796. Let me read a couple of these. It says, hey, Howard. Excuse me. Hey, Howard. Good show, bro. Ignore the woman calling venting. The government and the Bahamian civil service are famous for hiding things that are in plain sight. Right? So let's be able to read a few more. It says, bless up. Mr. Grant, crime at every level is a problem in this country. Traffic, thief, murder, sex-related vandalisms. You can see that the graffiti is starting up again. I thought that we were over that whole graffiti spray thing, right? These are texts that is coming. It says, great show as usual. We could rectify the problem with PMH by, one, the attitude of the workers, and the Filipino workers have better attitudes than the Bahamians. I only telling the truth. These are texts that's coming in. So we can be able to read that. Howard, I have a problem with the top cop saying that there's no sufficient evidence. That's garbage, right? Just be able to read the paper. You can see exactly what he's talking about as it relates to sufficient evidence for whatnot. We get into that story right now. Discontinue the South Street and the Bank Lane Walk was discontinuing the South Street and Bank Lane Walk was increased the fear of crime. Because the people don't see persons taken or charged in the court. I don't know if I agree with this too much. I don't know. You know my position on this. I believe that this was a form of punishment for the individual who's walking. You got your foot strap up. You got your hand strap up, and you're shuffling down for the Bank Lane Walk. And that brought shame to not only you as an individual, but to your families. It was, in my mind, a deterrent used to be able to cause, because what my grandmother would do years ago, she would watch television and say, you see what happened here, baby? You see here? Don't ever do this. Don't ever do that. And we saw those particular things like that. And I believe that this was kind of a show and tell to say, keep your children, watch over your children, ensure that they don't get in problems, or else it'll be shame on your family. That doesn't cause anybody to stop crime these days. Yeah, the family structure has been significantly, I don't want to say deteriorated, but we've lost that particular element. I think it exists somewhere in the ether. I think we have to kind of pull it out and be deliberate about that again. But the truth of the matter is that discontinuing of those walks, I think the current national Minister of National Security's concept of discontinuing it was good. With bringing that element of humanity back to those particular persons, that's fine. But if they're found guilty, put them in the paper. Get a website. Show who these persons are. This is a pedophile. This person has gone to jail for 3 years for rape. This person has done that. They rape a 14-year-old. They rape. Come on, let's just be very clear about this. Our society is too small, and we will reoccur. Well, Howard, well, the people in England, well, they should think of this before. They should have think about that before. Before you touch a 14-year-old girl or 13-year-old girl, you should have thought about that before. My God, the people didn't want me to live. The girl, 19 now, Jesus, I can't even get no job. Well, you should have thought about that before you touched the little girl. Now, here, put some money in your cup and shut up. I only have 28 cents, sir. But how would I can't use these extra three pennies? Well, sir, use the 25 cents. I just was trying to help you. Huh? We have no conversation for that. Let's be very clear about what it is. Let's take a next telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live.
Yes, it's Howard Grant.
Hey, what's up,
sir? Alan Johnson. I want to make a couple of points with you. Just let me first address the youth issue and leadership. And, you know, I don't know, and I've heard for a decade now this fallacy of we need youth leadership. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that youth has is youth.
That's heavy what you're saying.
Yeah, I understand. Yes, what happens, right? We always reference, like, all of these young people who have made it. But you notice that out of the 8 billion going towards 9 billion people, they keep referencing the same grouping of people. How many billionaires there is in the world? I think there's about almost approaching 3,000 of them, right? Mm-hmm. How many of them are under the age of 35?
A good percentage of them.
12.
That's it?
That's it.
Well, these are the people who always get in the media play.
No, this is where I'm saying it. If, when people start talking about you need youth, and the person who texts you about needing ideas is absolutely correct. And so when you go to the same thing for the millionaires, and proportionately, on the average age, you don't make your first million until you're 37 years old. Mm. Okay? And so what it is, it's a combination of age and experience and awareness. You know, a female reaches the age of maturity at 25, a male at 30, and then your whole cognizant of awareness changes. This is why the Army and the Navy and the Air Force get rid of women at 25 and men at 30. You know why? You're not dumb. You start questioning, why am I killing people for no reason? Okay? You see, you start to question things. Mm. And so what happens is, if you want leadership, what we have had in this country for 30 years of a digital revolution was lack of ideas. We used to talk for the last decade what oil is the new, data is the new oil. Well, guess what? In the last couple of months, data is no longer the new oil. Ideas is. Because we are reaching what is a I think a point, they call it a conflection point, where we're reaching, have so much, the world has had so much data that now you see artificial intelligence coming out. And so ideas now, to be able to manage and use and convert data, is where we are in the so-called knowledge economy. And so what we need now is we need individuals who awareness for building new economic model goes beyond Google. Okay? Not where you could repeat on Google. In fact, I tell people all the time, and somebody want to talk to me now about national development, I'm going to turn on ChatGPT or GP33 and let them talk into the mic and then ask them, where have you heard this before? So they could bring me up all the Google references these people are talking about.
Yeah.
See, so what we need is we need leadership in the country that understands tomorrow, because artificial intelligence is billing today.
Do we have that leadership? Do you see that leadership emerging? Oh, watch me. Give me one name.
Say it again?
Give me one name. I know you, but you... Give me one name who you've seen that with, or one entity, one organization.
I give you one name. My wife.
I know. I see. Okay. Congratulations, my brother. I see you just get married the other day.
I'm saying to you, she is 27 years old. They can find her on social media and across as Eden Mary Gator. She's now Eden Mary Johnson. Go and look at the ideas that she's expressed. Go and look at a video when she spoke in front of Rotary and other places, and she's 21 years old. No notes. And engaging those business people concerning what they need.
So you're saying to me that there are ideas that exist in here, but we just have to start to engage.
Right, I'm saying to you. And she's not the only one, because her friends, the type of friends and people she associates with, do the same thing, just that we have made no room for them. I want you to imagine, though, that if you take the fact that 70% of our minds never return to the Bahamas, that means there are thousands of them like her waiting and looking for the opportunity to return to the Bahamas.
I like it.
Which brings me to my point, my second point.
Well, let me take a break then. You got to hold on. Let me take a break. And then we'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, let me take a quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Divania's Grilled Food and Products are now open in the Kenneth Plaza, Prince Charles Drive. Come, you must try the jerk chicken, jerk pork, and all their amazing grilled food. Grilled daily to perfection, using all their amazing sauces made right here in the Bahamas. Divania's, grilling good food for life. Call or WhatsApp Divania's today at 817-4468.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant, The Foundation. Let's go back to C. Allen, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. I got the lines right up.
Yeah, I just want you to consider, right, that we are facing a legal crisis, an immigration crisis, an infrastructure crisis, a crime crisis, a health crisis, an energy crisis, a housing crisis, a food crisis, an education crisis, and so much more. And we have leadership who's been in governance for 30 years for most of these people, 30 of the last 50 years, who are now just saying, I just realize it. You have to understand the colonized mind. And the Bible itself says, beware the nation whose slave becomes king. They have no idea and cannot relate to the new reality. Taking into consideration for the same 30 years, going back to 1980s and the 90s, that the world has adopted digitization. A lot of people don't even realize that 12 years ago you didn't have a smartphone. And all of these different things. Facebook didn't exist until 2004, and Google and Google Earth, and all of the things we take for granted. These people are disconnected. I am a 60-year-old man. I challenge any of the young people concerning what the day is, what yesterday is, and what tomorrow will be. And so it tells you it's not youth. And I'm simply saying is that we have a country in crisis. Unless we can actually be able to engage and understand and comprehend the crisis we are in, how we got here, and be able to see into the future to plot a path how we leave from it, we will only do what most of us do on the radio show, just talk about, just do this, and do this. And you ask them how, and nobody asks knows how. And how does crime, education, infrastructure, health, and all of these things interact together as one? You're not making separate meals. The Bahamas is her soup. And so what we need is we need chefs. We don't need cooks. We need chefs who understand the intricacies of preparing a meal of consumption for the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate your telephone call. Ladies and gentlemen, I saw that the lines were lit up. And you go on, 325-4316, 325-4316, 325-4259, 325-4259. or hit me up on the text line 42247 at 964-2247. Let me read a couple more of these texts. This is Howard. They call your name and our names all the time. He is the PM, so we all will call his name. It comes with the position. This is a text that I'm reading here. This is Howard. Where the hell she get off at? Tell her to go back. No, well, I won't be decent. I ain't gonna tell her to go back nothing. I wouldn't do that. This is your text that come through, right? I understand these things. I understand these things. I understand the sensitivity based upon the proximity that exists in this country. I understand. And what I do not understand is that after these things are ready in the public domain, that no one should ever talk about it again. Don't you ever speak about it again. Act as though it doesn't exist, and let's continue business as usual. And all I'm just drawing reference, just drawing reference, that if I were to get to fall ill, whether that's with COVID, whether that my child have this issue now with RSV, the respiratory issue that the kids are having, whatever these issues are, if we didn't have the wherewithal, because I got insurance, I could take my baby to rectify these issues. But the conversation that we're having here in this space, the conversation that exists here on public radio, national radio, is about all of us. And we know a great deal of people, based upon stats and information, do not even meet the poverty line. And the only question is, how is the wealth common? That's all. How do we get to this common, loftier goal? To be able to give good opportunity and access. I didn't call anyone name. I don't even know the young lady's name. I do not know the prime minister's daughter's name. I don't know. And this is not a slight. Please, let's get out of our feelings when people's name get called. This is not a slight to the prime minister, not a slight to his administration. This is only information that's on the table that you can read in any one of the public newspapers. Why are you sensitive about it? Why are we rowing? I am only saying, if I, Howard Grant, was vying for the top office in this country and I fell ill, I would have to at least try to go to the public hall. I said, somebody can have to come to my house first. Howard, you can live by this. We can get you in the hospital. We can do this. Boom, 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 boom. You can live. Don't worry about it. I'd still be shaky, but getting in the hospital then. But I'd have to utilize a service locally. So when I get better, I can be able to say, well, I've had an opportunity to be treated at this particular place, and I know we have to rectify some issues. This is first on the agenda. This is me. This is what I would do. Please get out of your feelings. This ain't got nothing to do with your feelings. This ain't got nothing. I didn't say nothing disparaging about the prime minister. He was in a position for a very long time, fortunate enough to be able to send his children off to do some things, and now he's the recipient of what he's poured into them, the investment that he's made. He's a recipient of that. Praise God. But my God, my children can't do that. Your children who just get a job as a front office agent can't do that for you. You shouldn't live. You can drop down dead because your child worked at a hotel. Your child who is now the lifeguard, who's gone off to be trained as a lifeguard over at the hotel, he can't do that for you. And the only thing is, how do we make it common for all of us? Access and opportunity. Please, man, you all got to get on your feelings, man. That's why the people fire me from ZNS. Because everybody in their feelings, in their, oh, Jesus, Howard, you can't talk about the PLP when the FNM's in government. You know you're wrong for that. Are you stupid? All of us is one country. You think you hiding information? You think people in the family islands do not know what's happening out here? Why should I keep this information? Why can't we engage a very clear conversation? And I have a transparent conversation to the Bahamian people. This is bananas to me. Thank God for Guardian Radio. Praise God. Let's continue to be able to do that. 96.9. Let's just do that very clearly. 96.9 Guardian Radio, where we could be able to have a transparent conversation for growth and development in this country. Without this kind of an idea of being able to hold some things back simply because of our allegiance to one or the other political organizations. No, man. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? If we ain't talk honestly, we might as well honestly don't talk. Let's take a next telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with this line.
Hey, go ahead. Jason, good afternoon, Brother Howard. How are you?
Good afternoon, my brother. What's happening with you? Living?
It's all good. Howard, listen here. Well, you don't go to that hospital. You go in as baggage. You come out as free. Don't go. Go someplace else. I don't care if whatever you're prime minister or not. Don't go to that hospital, buddy. You go as baggage and you come out as free. I tell you that. Okay. Now, I listened to you earlier on and tried to get in when you're talking about your experience at the hotel and the type of people who don't really want to change the system. I listened to the lady on Dwight's show this morning from the Department of Inland Revenue, right? Pam was telling her over and over again, you know, as to why don't you have all of this information on the paper to avoid this back and forth with. And her attitude is, oh, it's no back and forth, it's online. How about whether it's online, offline, above line, or below the line? It's still time. She, in her mind, she's saying that it's a physical, you have to go there physically. And even if it's virtual, if you email the Department of Inland Revenue, they are not going to receive that in real time. If you don't get up and go down there and inquire about what's going on, you will never hear from them, you know? And she can't see that what Pam is saying is so relevant, what Pam was saying was so relevant to the issue. Have all of the information on these documents, okay? If it's up for renewal, ask the individuals to include a copy of this or whatever the relevant information that they would need instead of this back and forth. And that was all that Pam was trying to show the young lady, and she refused to see it, and she keeps saying, everything is online. Whether it's online or offline,
now,
this information
let's be sensitive about
some things. Like JJ said, until this Moses could dial, ain't nothing going to change. Have a good day.
Thank you, my brother. Let's be sensitive about some things, though. I mean, I hadn't had an opportunity. I was in a meeting this morning. I hadn't had an opportunity to kind of listen into Dwight's show, but I have to be, you know, if they send me here as a PR person, right, and they've given me my points, they say, Howard, this is what we're talking about. Now, from a developmental standpoint, I don't know what's going on in the background. I don't know what they're setting up. I don't even know what they give me to talk about today. And so when you come from left field with a particular concept, is even though we may we see simplicity in it, that's not my position. I don't speak about that. Because I don't know. I'm not informed about that. So, I mean, I can't drag the woman through the dirt because I hadn't listened to the conversation, one. And while it may seem simplistic, that was not necessarily my job. So I can't fight the woman for that. Let me take a couple more of these texts. So it says, Howard, it's because of people like that woman why the country can't move forward. I don't think we should make it like that. Right? So let's see if we can do it. So that caller talking about take the PM daughter name out of your mouth. Is out of order. Howard, you better learn to hang up on these people when they're coming at you wrong. I can't believe she called and say, keep the woman name out your mouth. Well, great day. Listen, one thing you can notice about me, I'm not afraid to be, to allow you to say what you want, man. This is your space. And I've had to have a significant amount of vetting that before I can be able to sit in this space. I ain't getting nobody business. I really don't. I try my hardest to be gracious in these particular things, and I only talk about, not speculation, because their speculation exists in almost every facet of our society. And some people would even fan the flames of possibility in these areas just to see show ratings go up. I ain't doing that. All I'm saying to you is what is plain in plain sight. That's it. And if that caused you blood to boil, then I can't do nothing about it. Right. Let's see if we can read a couple more. It says, good day, Howard. I agree about the family structure is falling apart. A Bahamian artist rapped a song about this. I missed and stumbled across his song. And check it out when you get a chance. Aldo Stubbs, song name 242 Family Structure. Okay. Aldo Stubbs, the song name is 242 Family Structure. I'll check it out. Right? Said, Howard, that was a deep Trinidadian accent, boy. The indecency is rich. You all need to stop it today. 325-4316, 325-4316, 325-4259, 325-4259, and 422-4796. Let's take a telephone call. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard.
Hey, what you say?
What's up, my brother?
All is well. What you say?
You letting these people stress you out, bro?
No, man, I ain't stressed out. And you supposed to come check
stress
me?
You out. And listen to me. Let me say something to my people. And they who they are. Politics is for you got to put on the big your big pants, or you got to grow some kahunas.
Talk to me.
Listen to me. Howard, I met a lady on the weekend, and she said to me, man, you carry the F and M to war. You and Dave carry the F and M to war. To war. I say, so what? We do what we're supposed to do. So now all I'm simply saying, Bahamian people, and some of y'all PLP is, you got to be able to give and take. You got to be able to give and take.
Yeah, but
that's
it's
why
like
my
Dan,
my
what you call the prime minister name.
My respect in this country with people is different than a lot of PLP is because I could give and I could take. Listen, I hear some people say some things about the prime minister, my leader, that I support 110%. All I do is laugh. Mm-hmm. I laugh. Mm-hmm. Because when I used to call these talk shows, Karen Minnis and his crew, the war and the hell sometimes, you know, you're getting problems, you get cut, whatever, that's life. Mm-hmm. That's life, PLP is. Y'all need to stop this foolishness in this country. Without an opposition, there is no politics. You need a healthy opposition of people. Whether you don't like what they say, whether you like what or like what they say or don't like what they say, that's life. And I tell PLPs, I don't know what some of y'all, if someone called this talk show and say every day the PLP is doing 100%, then I think something wrong. No government has done 100%. And we're going to have an opposition of people. We're going to have people calling talk shows. We're going to have people talking about our leader. That's life. Mm-hmm. I know my leader's a good person. You understand me? And the members of parliament that I know are good people. So if people call and voice their opinion about the PLP, y'all PLPs, y'all suck it up and stop being petty, man. All right, stop being petty, man.
Call me later. And y'all supposed to come do something with the International Men's Day?
Oh, you didn't call me.
No. I spoke to Keith. Call me later. Let's see if you can do something.
Yeah, no problem. Me, Cox, yeah, that's my boy.
Yeah,
but what
I'm
saying, right, Howard, in honesty, right? Man, come on, man. You all people, man. If you don't have talk show hosts being fair, not okay, so suppose you call every day we call a talk show, you just talk about the PLP. Oh, the PLP so good. The PLP this. The PLP. The PLP. PLP.
I lose credibility.
Then niggas say how it's being biased.
Absolutely.
But if you neutral, that's why Vaughn, I would always respect Vaughn. And me and Vaughn is friends. Not just talk show friends. Friends. Mm-hmm. And I want people to understand in this country, you got a voice. Mm-hmm. And if people voice their opinion, that's their right.
Yeah.
But you know something, Howard?
Call
when
me,
I call these talk show, ain't no PLPs call me, you know.
No, they ain't
they
call
don't
you.
Call me. They know better. When they see me, they hide the way. How you doing? They know better than confronting me.
Let me get to somebody to call me after the show. Right?
Have a good day, bro. Call me.
I can see you later, my brother. Let's take a next quick telephone break. Telephone break. Let's take a quick commercial break and to kind of get into these things, guys. We're going to be right back after this.
The foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Ready to step into the future? From your front door to the backyard and everywhere in between. See and speak to whoever's there with Ring Video doorbells and security cameras now available at Alive. Protect what matters most, all from one easy app. Available in your Google or Apple Play Store. Visit bealive.com/ring to learn more. We are Alive.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always. You're always calling me. J.S. Johnson Insurance. Peace of mind.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, The Foundation with Howard Grant right here on Guardian Radio. I'm so happy to be in your company today. I got a lot of texts. It says C. Allen has something to contribute, but he talks too bleak much, right? So there's some information coming in, right? These just texts. Y'all don't fight me, right? It says, bro, BTC talking mess about cutting off phones, and my phone was off in Pinewood for 2 weeks. Fix my phone in Pinewood. There's a text coming through, right? So there's just five times they text that. That's crazy. So this is the next text that came through. The lady exercised pure arrogance. The lady exercised pure arrogance. These just texts coming through. So this is Howard. I have a problem when top cop is saying that we read that. It says, Howard, when ignorance screams, intelligence keeps quiet. To keep a sound mind, she is Michael with a wrong conception. Okay. Good day. Guardian Radio put a lid on their talk show host, too. Okay. They never put none on me. So it says, so go to PMH, Howard, like the song say, I love my life. So it says, Howard, you got fired from ZNS. I hope you get 2 weeks vacation pay. No. Well, let me tell you, let's be very clear about this. ZNS cut my time, right? So I had a two-hour show, and they said, Howard, don't bring any more politics back. So I said, well, and I had Adrian Gibson. They said, so you want me to cancel Adrian Gibson on Monday? Oh, no, bring Adrian Gibson on Monday. I said, oh, so you're saying to me that I can't bring no PLPs? Oh, well, no, Howard, we didn't say that. I said, no, that's exactly what you're saying. Howard, bring Adrian Gibson on Monday. So I said, can I bring Glennis Hannah on Thursday? Howard, I as a person who needs to take directive. I swear to God, this was the conversation just like this. So I said, listen to me. I told you all before I signed the contract that I have a well-balanced conversation. I'm not here as no cheerleader for no political organization. After Glennis Hannah's show, they bring me a letter. Cut my time, cut my check. The next day, I brought them a letter. Thank you for the opportunity. And I left. What the hell is this in this country? That people in the Family Islands don't know about the PLP? That people in the Family Islands don't have no phone? Where the hell are we living? This is blowing my mind. Nobody in the Family Islands have telephone. We need to lie to them about what the FNM is doing. And Howard, you have to be the person that... Are you out of your mind? So that's how that happened, right? You say, your texter say he is in Pinewood. He running on about the phone. He should worry about the 50-foot flooding. Okay, don't fight him. Let the man... He can't call you about the 50-foot flooding if his phone ain't working. Let the man fix his phone. You'll behave yourself. This is Howard. She better sit small. She better sit small and don't try to rough up the Bahamian brother, because if the Bahamian sisters come for her, trust me, it's over. And Wednesday almost here. I may have a placard of... I may have a placard about that. So I said, boy, Howard, I hope you know that was the PM wife that called. She caught feelings when you call her daughter's name, LOL. No. I didn't call nobody's name, and I don't know who that was. I might as well tell you the truth. Now, I don't suspect that it was her, right? But the conversation that I had, I try to be able to be right down the road, right down the middle, and I'm not here to play sides. I'm not. Oh, don't fight me, man. I just want to have a clear conversation about equal opportunity, equality, rights, and opportunities for all of us. That's just what I want to do. I don't want to be here to have this kind of an idea that plays to one side or the other. When the PRP is in, I say this for them. When the FNM is in, I say this for them. I just want to be transparent about productivity, growth, and development in the country. And all I was saying is drawing reference, man. It's only drawing reference. Everyone will have the opportunity. There are people out there that ain't making $19,000 a year that every Jesus time they get paid, they still got to ask people for money to pay for something. My God, I work in 50 hours every week and I can't pay for something. I've given this man, this woman all my time. I can't see my children. I lose it, my family. I'm doing all these things for an opportunity to stay buoyant, stay afloat in this country, and I still got to borrow money. And this person vying for the position of prime minister whilst we coughing and trying to figure out where we can get respirators from could go off. Not in the public sphere. That ain't happened behind closed doors or a curtain. All of us see this. Whilst they were sending videos out of people who can't breathe sitting outside with the respirator wrapped to them and in the pouring rain. You see it in the pouring rain. We had men and women vying for public office in this country saying, thank Jesus I got money. Come on, man. At the end of the day, your life is not better than mine. Whoever these persons are, and all of us have a desire for the one thing, life preservation. We want to be able to leave legacy for the next generation. And you fighting me because I mention it? That is bananas to me. Bananas to me. Let's take a next telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Howard.
What's happening, my brother?
Everything good. Thank God for life. Howard, what's going on? What did they actually, what you said? See, the accent is from where?
No, this is people telling the text. Papa, stop that. Stop that. Papa, don't farm no flames anyhow. Go ahead.
No. I can leave that alone.
Leave that alone.
Yeah, I can leave that alone. But Howard, mm-hmm. I believe you're doing a good job. And
I appreciate
you was one of the most humblest, like, talk show hosts who allow people to speak their mind even if they disagree and criticize you. A lot do let people criticize them, but you're one of the special ones, so I just want you to be encouraged and stuff like that. And people can say what they want, say with accent or not. You'll have some of your own behemoth people telling you don't call a woman name with your mouth.
Yeah, that's okay.
So it doesn't matter, you know. One of the things that I wanted to say to you, you think you could reach out to see if you could, the land revenue place, the people who've been on, I don't know if the company, if
it was on Dwight Schultz's mind.
Against the rules to bring her back on, or one of some of her team members, because there's so much question needs to be asked. People want to commend them on the good work they do and all, but I don't believe they was able to take as much calls or no calls at all, maybe a couple text messages, but there's something that we need to talk about, because some of the things with the lady was talking about is so important. Some of the things they didn't even mention when she mentioned on the news, like the banks having to pay business license and all the lending institutions, the lawyers, them who are doing business away with different people, like they either wasn't being taxed, WAT-wise, and like they can start to do it, and they questions with people like, you know, how much WAT we can get, how we can tax the banks, how we can do this. You know, I think she's the right person for the job. I wish we had more enforcers like that lady. They say she named Miss Strawn. I don't know if she's related to Dwight. It doesn't matter. I think she's the right person for the job. I don't know if she's in charge of custom too. But I wish you could get her on so we could ask some questions. Howard, see if you could bring her on or bring her team members on. All right?
Thank you, my brother. I'll definitely do that.
The good work. Don't worry about these people, Howard. You're doing a good damn job.
Thank you, Papa. I appreciate you, my brother. Let me take the next telephone call about right here. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Grant.
Hey, good afternoon, my brother. What's happening?
Yeah, you know, Howard, you know, you're very vivacious and encouraging in your speech. And you also, I like how you show indifference. You know what I mean? You have mastered that, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to stop the Jacob and Esau here in Nassau. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sick of the political talk. You know, 52 this call, I talk to PLP, the FNM. You know, you have to accept criticism. So I don't call and talk with no PLP, you know. I mean, anybody. I about the country. I'm calling about the situation in the country. I'm calling to talk about health care because I care. Now, the people calling and saying don't go to the hospital, right? But Howard, I pay in taxes. Where else I have to go? Where's the reciprocity? You understand what I'm saying?
That's it.
So do me a favor. When you bring on Dr. Darwell and whoever is coming on this week, right? Dr. Darwell, they just dropped this 2,000-pound brick on his back. And you have to carry this load. Mm-hmm. But don't shield him from the public, because no one is smarter than the public. So we need to question him. And so here's what's going on now, right? We want to know the status of the diagnostic machines, the ultrasound, the CAT scan, the ECG, the X-ray. And I would like to also know if the hospital have a Doppler ultrasound or a venous ultrasound, something that is done to check for blood clots. So this could save people lives on the spot. And if they don't, it would be unbelievable, Howard. Because, you know, people go there with all type of symptoms, and then you could just, I think you put it on the area, and then you see, they'd be able to use the ultrasound, the waves to look at the blood veins and see where the blood clot is. And so, you know, we cannot be shielding these people from their responsibilities. And the fact that most of us are singing for our supper and so consumed in political rhetoric, coming on this radio talking visceral BS,
mm-hmm.
it shows me they are limited. These people, do they read anything else?
Mm-hmm.
Howard, I've been calling to talk to people, 52, they making a joke on Dwight Show during this pandemic, sci-fi and all that. But guess what? Everything I said will affect them. But guess what, Howard? I want you to know, the people listening to you, my brother. And guess what? Howard, mm-hmm. enough respect for getting fired from ZNS, you know. Enough respect.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate your respect, but my wife look at me with indifference. I'm about to tell you, she's ready for that. No. Listen to me. I can shoot straight with you. That wasn't an easy decision I made. I don't have no reservoir. My daddy ain't got no bunch of money. My mommy ain't got no bunch of money. Nobody give me nothing. Nobody just give me nothing. I owe people money right now listening to me. They're trying to figure out when Jesus, how it can pay me. Talk to me. Let's be very clear. So I know about the struggle in this country. When I sit here with you, I'm saying to you, as an average Bahamian man who property in Grand Bahama and he live in Nassau renting, just like the majority of people in this country, when the hell are we going to get a chance? Us. When we can get a chance. I can't afford no property in Nassau. How I can do that? I got to get 5 jobs and my wife got to get 3. And then I got to get my little 4-year-old to see if he can get something to do also. How? I don't have that favor and proximity to any political organization that somebody can kick you off something just because you got close, you know them, there's their family, but you can't perform nothing in your job. I don't have that. But I have conviction and strength, and I have Jesus Christ. I know that I wasn't born just for nothing. I wasn't born just to come in this country and slack off. I know that. I know that I wrestle with this every day. I wrestle with people bringing opportunities to me just to be able to drop my conviction and accept the position. I can't do it. And I know better than nobody. But at the end of the day, I want to reflect upon my life to know that I've had value. I added value to the space and place I was in during the time I was there. Because every one of us can die. And Jesus, oh God, I know one thing. You ain't going to say nothing negative but Howard. Oh Jesus, you see him there, he's a thief. You can't expect nothing better from the insurance. There's thief. I know your people. I listen to the conversations from my grandmother about people, from my grandfather about people, from looking at certain people in our communities. I know the heart of my people. And the only thing I could do is give with passion and determination. And I am honest to God, I'm grateful for this opportunity. You all think I take that lightly? If I cannot have a conversation to you that's saying that we are being left behind, then what are we talking about? Am I here to push a corporate agenda? Am I here to push an agenda of an individual who wants me to say certain things so I can be able to take? I could do that anywhere. I could have still been at ZNS doing with my thing if that's the case. But when would you know me? You only know me for this particular position. When would you know my passion? When would you know the position and call, the conviction on my life? When? You would never know it. So, with the greatest degree of respect, whoever the person was that called, you troubled the water today. Because I don't bother with nobody. And I never call nobody name. I'm only stating what's in the newspaper. But you cuss me. You cuss me and tell me, keep my name, the people name, out of my mouth. I ain't use nobody name. Including the Prime Minister, I mention his particular position. Never call his name. Is this not information in the public realm? Bananas. Let's read a couple more texts and get out of here. It says, Howard, is it possible to get the audio of that lady trying to make nothing out of nothing? Howard, you are the number one talk show host. Okay, man, I appreciate your telephone, your text. It says, good day, Howard. Don't spare the rod on road. Don't spare the rod and road on the subject. We will have a rotten country live up your purpose. I appreciate you, Tux, right? So it says, Howard, after that speech, you move from 5 to 4. Best on the show. Okay. Man, guys, I see, I don't bother, man. I try to be, not passive, but I try to be able to be accommodating with views in this country and positions. And I want you to know something. Vying for politics in this country, the FNM could tell you Howard is a decent man. You ain't got to go to Jesus. Just go to the former prime minister. The FNM could tell you Howard is a decent man. I could come here and vomit on this radio about the indecency that happened to me in the organization for nothing. I said nothing about it. Indecent. And I said, God, your will be done, and come out here and push. I don't bother with people. So when we're talking about a national issue, especially the issue that has to do with PMH and where we're going from here, please hear my heart and stop looking at it through the lens of your proximity to whoever these particular persons are. These people are public figures. If I don't say it, the papers can say it. The editorials can say it. Other persons can say it. If we're not transparent with ourselves, who are we lying to? You ain't lying to me. You definitely ain't lying to God. All of us could see you, sir. Am I supposed to say, oh, sir, this beautiful robe you have on while you sit here bald naked? The devil is a liar. Let's be very clear about that. You mentioned ministry, back to 5. That minister, that's your business. That's your business. I'm not fighting you all. You all know. Listen, you can get straight cut with me. This is the foundation. If we don't get back to where we're supposed to be as a nation, if you don't get back to the course that we have charted, that our forefathers, the vision that they've casted, we are going to lose a people. We're going to sit down in this position in 50 years trying to be able to vie for Bahamians to come back home from Canada, from Australia, from the back of God back, to be able to find out how we can repopulate this land with the indigenous people. So let's be real with ourselves today and find a course and a path with transparency to see the country move up. Guys, that has been the show today. I never plan to get into this thing. Never. I never plan to move in this direction. Never. We have administration in and out been having the exact same conversation. We have not seen one inflection, an iota of movement in a progressive direction. I have taken on a position to commend the PLP for the low-hanging fruit that they've taken on. Today, we've seen repetition come out in the media about the same talking points that former administrations had brought to the forefront. There is an expectation that this administration, fused with youth and creativity, not only gives us talking points, but gives us those actionable things, those movements towards change. That's all the conversation has been today. And I'm hoping that it troubled your spirit to make a decision to move in the right direction. Guys, I thank you so very kindly. If you want to be a part of the show, I want you to give me a call, 827-0111, 827-0111. Or hit us up, 302-2300. We got everything for you. You can have a great show tomorrow. Guys, I want you to stick and stay for Z Live with Trivago Lang right after this. Have a beautiful day, Bahamas. We see you tomorrow. Godspeed.
Foundation. The foundation.